Ready.
Just in the middle of the field, 45, 50. Green grass in front of him, leaving Lions in his wake.
I am Jeff Joniak.
Blitz is on. Down he goes. Husker.
What was it like playing for Coach Ditka?
I don't want to answer any questions like that.
61 yards. A Sunday stroll for Justin Fields.
No way. 3-4-3.
And Pendera is Pendera is Pendera.
Now, Bears Etc. with the voices of the Chicago Bears, Jeff Joniak, and Tom Thibodeau.
Win number two comes with three-phase execution, third down success, red zone touchdown efficiency, and a defense that intercepts three passes, slams the door on the run, and takedown visiting Vegas 30-12. It also ends a 10-game home losing streak at Soldier Field. Hello, everyone, and welcome in to our podcast with Super Bowl-winning Bears guard Tom Thayer. I'm Jeff Joniak. It's episode 27 of the Bears Etc. pod. Good to be with you each Tuesday and Thursday of the regular season. Today's guest, Bears head coach Matt Eberflus, joins the program. Tom, felt good to get that one, let me tell you.
You know, Jeff, it felt good from start to finish. It was a beautiful day on the lakefront at Soldier Field. Conditions were perfect for football. And the Bears came out and complimented a very strong fan base with a great football game. All three phases, the excitement on the sidelines supported the team on the field. The coaches had every phase of the team properly prepared, and they went out there and I'm not saying they pulled off the impossible. They pulled off what was expected of them.
And we got to get the status from Halas because the first question is where Justin Fields is at. Matt Eberflus at his news conference. We didn't really get into it on the podcast here. He did address it. Remains doubtful. Working with the trainers, things are improving, but it's tracking to be a Tyson Bagent start. Sunday night football in L.A. against the Chargers. That's the latest on that. So let's take that individually, get your thoughts on that, and how Justin ultimately will respond from this dislocated thumb and the swelling and all that comes with it until he grips the football and where it stands.
Well, you know, one thing about Justin, there's a lot of elements of, you know, healing process that a quarterback needs for his thumb. First of all, you need to take a center quarterback exchange from directly under center. Then you got to be able to have the RPO handoffs that sometimes there's a little bit of connection there, contact in between the stomach of the running back and into the arms of the quarterback. And then if you unfortunately hit your hand on the back of a shoulder pads or a helmet of an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman, you got to be able to survive that. So there's different tests along the way that Justin's going to have to pass before he can actually go in there and play in a game.
Nate Davis, not going on IR at present, still week to week as he recovers from his high ankle sprain. Also, not sure where Braxton Jones is at just yet. And then Roschon Johnson needs to clear one more hurdle to clear concussion protocol, but they feel he looks good to practice on Wednesday.
That's good. You know, Roschon, I think he's going to be an asset throughout his career here. He's a good, solid running back, and he, you know, has all the elements of the game that you need to play running back. I think the way Deontay Foreman is playing along with Evans, I think that both of these guys have done a really nice job of filling in. But, you know, one thing great about when these guys get an opportunity to play, it creates more competitiveness on the football team. And to me, competitiveness and competition on your own roster is one of the biggest positives that you can have.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because the way Deontay Foreman is practicing and playing is going to be tough to yank him out of there. You know, we got Khalil Herbert on IR, Roschon coming back. I mean, it is. The competition at that position is pretty fierce. Jaquan Brisker did have to go through concussion protocol, but he's fine. He's fine. He got cleared, and so he'll be all right. So that's good news. He had a heck of a game yesterday. Every time we broadcast and have done so for 27 years, I always learn something about the game from you, and we touched out of the broadcast two things. One is the ability to play racquetball that helps the feet that help you play football at offensive line. And then second is orange sleeves on the shirt for Jalen Johnson could have led to that pass interference penalty over the middle of the field when you're going up against a team like the Raiders wearing a white uniform top. I mean, I never thought about it, but you know what? In passing, talking with Coach, he said the same thing. How about that?
You know, I mean, So Tony Medlin, the head equipment manager, in agreement with the coaches, he should have a board up there to tell you what pieces of the uniform they want you to wear. And then they should not even have that orange long sleeve shirt hanging in your locker, because people, kids, high school, college, Pop Warner, pros, they want to dress to their style. And I'm not, you know, disappointed in Jalen. I would just want him to be the best possible player that he could be. And when you look at where he was on the whole, the coverage on the interference call, the judge was behind him. The official was behind him. And all he saw was that orange arm around the white jersey. But he vindicated himself by having two interceptions. However, going forward, when every single play in the game counts, I just wish these guys would think a little bit about more about their uniform.
And after going over the tape, I guess I did agree with the calls last night. I wasn't so sure. I guess those were fair interference calls. So, you know, it seems like the defense is going to lose those anyway most of the time.
You're a homer.
No, I mean, I am, but, you know.
I know. I'm joking.
Wait, weren't you a little surprised on the one deep one, or he just didn't turn his head around?
No.
All right.
Not at all. He never turned his head, and he had plenty of time, because the one thing that defensive backs, what they're reading under those circumstances, is the head of the receiver and as he's going up for the ball. And I was looking at this report, because Jerry Rice has a son that's playing college football. And the advice that Jerry Rice gave his son was put your hands up as late as you possibly can to limit the time where the defensive back can read you. And when you look at the length of that route, look at the length of the flight of the football, and look at the receiver throughout the whole process, there is a time where he could have turned around, focused on the football. But hey, that's an ex-fat offensive lineman telling a real athlete how to play their position. I'm not doing that. It's just from the things I've learned from listening to other receivers and defensive backs.
He plays at USC, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Tevin Jenkins. Now, Pro Football Focus, we get into this every week. I guess we don't always appreciate it when we think that the grades may not be accurate in terms of what we've witnessed, but when they are good, you got to bring them up, right? It should be a two-way street about it, but again, a second game this season, Tevin Jenkins in his first return when he played 37 snaps and was thinking he was just going to rotate in at left guard, but right guard, back at right guard, 33 pass blocking snaps, no sacks allowed, no pressures allowed. Did you also feel that was the case when you reviewed the tape?
Yeah, I agree 100%. I thought the offensive line did a really good job. I thought they did a really good job of transferring from the first level to the second level. There were some really good blocks by the tight end, the tackles, and Lucas Patrick at the center position. So I was super encouraged to see how well organized that Chris Morgan, the offensive line coach, had these guys going into the game, because there was a couple focal points in this game, one being Max Crosby, a solid rotation of their interior defensive lineman and active linebacker. So, you know, kudos to Chris Morgan for the nice job that he did with a 31st change in the offensive line.
Crazy. Back to Jalen Johnson. Pro Football Focus has him the number one rated cornerback this season, passer rating allowed. Their number is 22.2. I said last night and yesterday he allowed just two completions on six targets. He did have those penalties, so you got to factor that in. But entering the game, he'd been allowing just a 52% completion percentage, which you would take every day in this league against who he's played in his 4 years. Some of the numbers, I know the takeaways haven't been there, but they were yesterday, and he got a game ball for it, and it was a significant day for Jalen.
You know, I know he missed a couple games due to injury. However, as you have to look at the beginning of the year, the Bears' defensive line wasn't putting a lot of pressure on the opponent's quarterback. So that means there's a lot more the cornerbacks and safeties have to do in order to try to limit the success of the passing game. So I think that's a good accountability for Jalen to have that type of reflection from whatever site you're looking at.
For all your journeys ahead, go with a partner who's been on your team from the beginning, the one members and communities have trusted for over 85 years, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois, always standing by you, with you, for you. through it all. Jeff and Tom of the Bears Etc. podcast on a feel-good Monday and Tuesday here. No work for the guys. Eberflus giving them the time off, and they'll get back at it strong Wednesday and look forward to going out to L.A. to take on the Chargers. You down with that? You good?
Well, I am, because they're going to L.A., because that's going to be an exhausting trip. And so when you think about getting back to Halas Hall at 4:45 a.m. on Monday morning, and that really takes a whole day, a work day away from you. So the coaches have to get some work done on the flight home. And, you know, you got to get these players to recover, because then they go right back onto a plane on Saturday and fly down to New Orleans. And that's a really hostile environment down there, you know, coming off the SoFi experience on Sunday night.
All right, let's listen into our weekly interview with head coach Matt Eberflus as he recaps the Bears' win over the visiting Vegas Raiders. All right, Matt, thanks for joining us once again. Congrats on the win. I call it a feel-good Monday when that happens, right?
Yeah, I would say that really congratulations to everybody, you know, the staff, the coaches, you know, the players. You know, we put a lot into this week, you know, week in and week out, and it's good to get a victory.
All right, and it's a good team win. This is, by definition, if you go through everything, this is a team win.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, it's complimentary football. You know, people say that. It's like, well, you know, what it actually is that, you know, when you talk and you say that term, it's really about, you know, when the defense gets a turnover, you know, we turn that into points, you know, offensively. And the offense, you know, when they're on the minus field, you know, they get first downs, you know, to move the ball into the scoring area. And if they don't, you know, they punt and pin, the other team has to go the long, hard way. So those are all the things that we talk about. You know, we talk about the ball a lot, you know, and we really accomplished that yesterday. But, yeah, it was a good team win.
We have a broad audience for this podcast. There's all ages, all different levels of knowledge. But I have been asked many times, hey, what is complimentary for? I don't understand what that means. So, you know, we can't assume everybody knows what it is. So I'm going to drill deeper.
Okay.
Because you talk about, and Matt talks about, situational football. Every head coach in the league does continuously. They work on it every single day of the work week. And so, in my opinion, you checked nearly every box of situational football success on both sides of the ball, which is very rare. You're never going to be completely happy with everything, but I got to start with first down. First down rushing, 16 carries, 78 yards, 4.9 a carry. It did set up your drives. You ultimately had three long, double-digit, 10-plus play scoring drives that led to points, two touchdowns, one field goal. In the reality of football, how important was that success running the ball on first down?
Yeah, just first down efficiency is so important, you know, and obviously one way to do that is to run the ball. And we did that really well yesterday, and we did a good job of stopping it also on first down. You know, the efficiency of that, of first downs to start the drive and also first downs within. And it really puts you ahead of the sticks, you know, in terms of your second down play call. So it opens up your second down play call when you get 6 yards on first down or 7 yards on first down, and you can really do a good job with that. You know, it's, you know, if you get stuffed, you know, on a first down, you know, minus yards, or you have a penalty, then it kind of puts you behind and you're almost in a pass mode at that time. So it really opens up your options on the second down.
Yeah, I'm sure you've dealt with the analytics of what happens on first down in the negative vein. Our statistician, Doug Coletti, who's been doing it 40 years, he cringes when there's a first down sack, because it's hard to score after a first down sack.
Yeah, it is. It is. And really the first play of the drive is always important. They have analytics for that too, but I know that's got to be a positive play. If it's 4-plus yards, it's a good thing, to, you know, for scoring.
All right, we talk about third down continuously. Third down rushing this season, you guys lead the league. 6.1 a carry. I don't know how many carries, but it doesn't matter. 6.1. Kansas City's over 7. That's it. They're number one. We're number two in the league. So that's big. But third down, Tyson Bagent throwing the ball on third down was 6 of 9, albeit for 52 yards, 1 touchdown, 5 first downs, though, on those 6 passes, and ran for a touchdown as well. So, and the third down defense was very good yesterday. So now we're killing it on third down.
Yeah, that's all about keeping drives alive, right? And the offense did a really good job with that. In the last 2 weeks, the defense has been outstanding on third down. I think they got 2 yesterday, 1 late. And that just gets you off the field and gets the ball back into our offense's hands. So, again, you know, our first down we had, you know, in the game, you know, was in the red zone. You know, we got them down there and end up pressuring on that particular play and got off the field, and they go to kick it and they missed it. You know, so Those are all big.
And then red zone, 3 for 3.
Yep, 3 for 3. We did a really good job with that. And again, I thought we had some good creativity down there. And, you know, Getsy called a good game down there. And then obviously having, you know, Tyson did a good job delivering the ball and moving the ball around. But again, good teams run the ball in the red zone, you know, and, again, it's always, you know, staying ahead of it there, and we did a good job with that.
I like keeping that stat, too, just from my own personal knowledge. When we prepare for games, who runs the ball in the red zone, because offensive coordinators by nature like to throw the ball in there. So I like running the ball in the red zone.
Well, the reason that's important is because the field is, you know, you shrink the field, you know, so you don't have the deep passing games not there anymore. And that's why you'll see a lot of teams, you know, from the higher red zone or in the fringe area where I'm talking about is the plus 25 to the 35 take shots, you know, into the end zone. We've done a good job with that as well because they don't want to deal with the shortness of the field, you know, in the passing game. And that's why when you get down there, you know, in the tighter red zone, it's important to run the ball.
Third down defense, by the way, last month, 10 of 34 for the opposition, 4 of 22 the last 2 weeks. So you're going to win games if you play that kind of third down defense. All right. What'd you learn about Tyson Bagent?
Yeah, just what I knew about him. I mean, he really wasn't no big surprise. You know, we've seen this, you know, in preseason, you know, and this is why he was named the backup, is that, you know, his poise, you know, his pocket presence, you know, his ability to get rid of the ball fast. You know, he's got great rhythm and timing back there. And his operation, you know, there was no – we didn't have to waste any timeouts for being to delay a game and all that. He was right on time and did a really good job of operating yesterday.
I like the youthful enthusiasm of success when he got picked up the first down with his legs and he pumped the fist or whatever he did to the crowd, got them all worked up. That spoke to me as a guy that while he said he was nervous throughout the course of the week, the nerves went away after the first snap and he was just enjoying his moment. Right then and there, right?
Yeah, that was cool to see. You know, I really enjoy that because, you know, you want your guys to have fun out there.
Yes.
You know, play. You know, it's still a game, and you want your guys to have fun out there, enjoying it, especially when, you know, the execution is high and, the guys are playing with great passion, you know, and energy. And our fans were great. You know, our fans were great yesterday, and they've been great, you know, the entire time. And they're always supportive of our offense and defense and, you know, certainly our whole football team.
I'm so glad you brought up the fans because you know, as the weather turns, you know, things change a little bit for everybody involved. And they have been raucous every home game. And, you know, you feed that beast and, you know, it's going to be a very tough place to play for the opposition. So, you know, big moment. They just want those big moments. They've been dying for them.
And yeah,
so,
it's been great. And I understand, you know, we've had some adversity, but, man, we love that support and the players feed off of it.
I'll tell you, another guy who had a lot of fun was Deontay Foreman. I mean, he was looking forward to this second chance to get on the field again and talk about his day.
Yeah, really good day for him, you know, and he had a really good week of practice. And he's just did a nice job of, you know, securing the football, number one, you know, getting north, you know, getting his pads down and really doing a great job of, you know, having that you know, heavy presence, you know, in the middle there of being able to run the ball and really push the pile. And he had some outstanding cuts in that game too now, yes. You know. So it was really exciting to see him play, and again, he did a really nice job.
I don't want to stop talking about him, but Darrington Evans, that outside run when he made that sharp cut, man, I was like, okay, those sudden moves, or DJ making a catch and still able to get, you know, he's got a guy right on his back, still squeezes out 3 or 4 more yards, he's just not going out of bounds. Those things add up and they matter, the hidden yards kind of.
Yeah, they do, they really do, because, you know, you take DJ's first play from scrimmage, and you know, we throw a screen pass out there, and again, they had the defensive end played that pretty well on that particular play, but DJ still gets 4 yards on it, you know.
And grip.
That's the ability that he has.
Right. Well, don't you think the hands got to be super strong to make that catch?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
All right, so back to Deontay. So when you talk about tackling as a defensive person first, there are stats for broken tackles, yards after contact. I, in my opinion, but I want you to correct me if I'm wrong, yesterday, if they missed tackles, it's because the way the Bears played caused those missed tackles or yards after contact, because there were some punishing runs and from the receivers and the backs. Would you say there is a delineation between the two?
Yeah, I think it's important that it's really about a couple things. You know, if you get the ball, you know, to a receiver, you know, in the right spot, you know, we say throw a friendly ball, you know, or a runner's ball, you know, to the guy. So he's able to throw it in the right spot, and then he's able to turn and get north onto the defenders. Then he's able to, you know, he's in a position of power then. And that's what we did. You know, so you throw it on time, right, and you throw it in position. So it's a runner's ball. Then they can really turn and then get north. You know, and it's that's important because now he's ready to take on, you know, the guys that are going to tackle him. He can split two. And especially when you're playing a zone team, they played, you know, a lot of zone yesterday. And so it's important that that you do that.
I started coming into using split two in my play-by-play calls, thanks to you. So yep. Because it's a visual. And I had to ask you about what that meant. But they did that yesterday as well. All right, let's talk about some individuals on the defensive side of the ball. And I don't want to dismiss the offensive line. Then a couple holding outstanding once again.
Really, yeah, really good. They did a nice job protecting. We really emphasize, you know, owning the line of scrimmage, and they're obviously a huge part of that with the tight ends. You know, so they did a really good job, and the protection was good again against that pass rusher that we had. You know, Max yesterday, we had a really good plan for that, and I thought we executed that plan solid yesterday.
Let's talk to Jaquan Brisker, and I think I said this in the postgame interview. If not, I said it on the TV show Game Night Live on Fox. Is you kind of deployed Brisker. You just didn't play him. You deployed him. And I read a quote. I had to go back to it. He was saying he was being used differently last year. He wanted to be back to doing that. Is that a fair observation from him, or because he was around the ball the entire game?
Yeah, he does a good job. I love Jaquan because he plays with the right energy. You know, he has the right disposition, and that's important at any position on the field. He has the disposition for that. You know, and you know he's a really good pressure player. He loves the pressure. He can do a lot of different things. You know, he can play the deep part of the field. He can play, you know, anything back there, and he also can play down low. He can man tight ends. You know, so he's a valuable piece to our defense. And again, the most important thing that he brings is the passion, you know, that we want to play with.
On his blitz, I think he was frustrated. He maybe didn't take the right angle of approach to get to the court because he was right there, and he kind of threw his hands up in there and put his hand on his head. True or false?
I just don't think he liked his get off.
Okay.
Yeah, he didn't all like right. His takeoff was as good as he wanted it to be. That's all.
And if Justin Jones doesn't tip the pass that Brisker broke on, would he have intercepted that?
You think? No question. Yeah,
yes.
He would have had that for sure.
Love you know, so, that instinct.
Yeah, so it's really instincts, and it's about hustle. You know, so you know your instincts and your you know instantaneous reactions that you have because you know what you're doing and know how to do it. And, you know, the ball is going to show up sometimes. You know, and when it does, you got to make the play.
Got to talk about Cairo Santos. He's made 26 of his 27 kicks. Had one blocked on the point after yesterday. Mm-hmm. But his season is going swimmingly. And if you get 50-plus yarders at this time of year before the weather hits, I mean, his leg seems to be feeling good. He's banging everything into or out of the end zone. I mean, what do you think of his season so far?
Yeah, it's really been good. And, you know, he's practiced well. He's done a really good job in practice. He's made those kicks, you know, and there's some windy days out here, you know, and we've tested him. You know, we've stretched him out a little bit in terms of, you know, his distances, and he's performed very well there. And that kick yesterday at 54 yards is right in his wheelhouse. So he's, you know, he's done really well.
A game ball for Jalen Johnson. I interviewed him with our show on Marquee after the game. He had it tucked under his arm. Can I just touch the game ball? And I, you know, he kept looking at the game ball. First one he's ever gotten. Two picks and a score. 9 pass breakups by your defense yesterday. Tyreek Stevenson had 3 himself. Just the overall play of your corner. Yesterday.
Yeah, really good. John Hoke does an excellent job with those guys. And he's been a great coach for a long time. And he's had a lot of great players that he's helped, you know, and worked with and partnered with. And these two guys are no different, you know. And those guys really enjoy working with John. And John enjoys working with those guys, you know, Smitty and, you know, all the guys that he has, you know, Johnson, you know, Tyreek.
Kyler, Jalen.
All those guys, yeah. And he does a really good job with that. But, you know, the one thing he does preach is fundamentals and technique, you know, and he's always talking about keys and where your, you know, where your eyes are. You know, they help you play fast. And it's important that those guys really do a great job of drilling that during the course of the week.
All right, you touched on it in the press conference. I'll go over it with Tom as we continue this podcast. Just Justin, trainers are working with him. Doubtful for this week. Bajan appears to be the starter. Nate Davis week to week, and Roshan Johnson coming back. All right, four road games in 5 weeks. I know you're looking at them one at a time. How key of a stretch in the season is this, starting with the LA
Chargers? It's a big part, you know, and you know, we're going to, you know, guys had victory Monday yesterday, so they're off till Wednesday, so we're going to freshen them up in terms of their mental and physical, and we'll get to work on Wednesday, and guys are going to visit with their coaches today, you know, on the phone, or, you know, a lot of guys have come in anyway, so we're going to talk about the film and the corrections and get better fundamentally, but, you know, we really do look at it week to week. And we got a big challenge ahead of us this week.
Yep. Justin Herbert, Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa, Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen.
Yep.
It's a good team that they're having their issues as well right now. They've lost six of their last eight games dating back to the playoffs last year.
Yeah, very talented roster. They pose a lot of problems. And, again, it'll be a big challenge for us on both sides of the ball. And we got to continue to do a really good, solid job in the kicking game.
I appreciate your time as always.
All right,
good luck this week. I basically felt the Bears checked every single situational box yesterday. Every single one. I mean, we're talking first down rushing, third down rushing, third down offense, third down defense, taking the ball away, not turning the ball over. Red zone success was 100% on the offensive side of the ball. Special teams continues to play well with Santos. Had one blocked extra point, but he's on a tear. So you name it, it happened well yesterday, and that's almost a rarity. You didn't like the 9 penalties, certainly not. But other than that, it was a very successful day in situational football with a first-time starter at quarterback, a rookie undrafted, you know what, Jeff, Tyson Bagent.
I wish there was another column for situational football. And the situational football that I would like to see is penalty recovery. Because remember, they had the false start against Darnell Wright way back in their territory. They recovered from that. They got the first down. They went down and scored. The long interference call by Jalen Johnson, they did not let him score a touchdown. So I think that should be an accountable stat for the team. If you want to talk about situational football, offense, defense, first down, second down, third down, offense, defense, what do you do when there's a penalty? Are you able to overcome it offensively, or are you able to overcome it defensively? And when you talk about 9 penalties for over 100 yards, I think the Bears did a really nice job of being able to recover from some of those penalties they had.
Right, left tackle also, that was a penalty twice for holding for Larry Borum, and I think he allowed 3 pressures. But just, you know, one sack of Tyson Bagent. So let's talk about the kid from West Virginia. Let's talk about secret agent Bagent.
Yeah, you know, where do you want to start? The Bears won the coin toss, and then they take the opening kickoff with a rookie quarterback at home, where it kind of shocked me up at the booth, and 90% of the time you'd say, okay, let's let this kid break into the game by watching a series on defense. But the Bears had a great deal of confidence in him. They put him out in the field immediately. I know it was a quick series, but the next series they came back and scored a touchdown. And so Tyson did a really nice job of not making the game too big for him. He had over 60 members of his family, I think, there supporting him. And, you know, that adds a little bit of the nervousness to the first-time operation. And, you know, when it came up to him to make a play, probably the one play that stands out in my mind the most is the big third down that he hit Tyler Scott. Because he had 2 receivers to the right, one of them being DJ Moore. They did a nice job of covering both of them. And if you watch his feet and his head, he rotates back to the center of the field with anticipation, hits Tyler Scott for the first down. And that almost gave me a sense of relief because I'm going, okay, they have what everybody considers a dynamic pass rusher. Tyson took his time, patiently was able to get the ball to Tyler Scott, and, you know, continued the drive, and then they had success with it. So those are, you know, some of the elements, the judgment elements that you go through with a young kid like that.
I like the throwback screenplay. That was a well-designed play by Luke Getsy to Foreman. I think that was the longest pass play of the day. But I got to look at the 10-plus play drives. There were 3 of them. They all led to points, 2 touchdowns and a field goal, which, again, I touched on with Coach Fluse. But defenses that – allow, because they played zone, so, you know, they were allowing those short passing plays and then coming up and making the tackles or not making the tackles on the ball. They didn't tackle well. Vegas head coach Josh McDaniel was not happy with their tackling, but again, as we discussed last night on Game Night Live, you know, the Bears made it difficult to tackle him. So, but, you know, if you get teams that are, you could look at it two ways, I guess, okay? The ball, the Bears were possessing the ball. They were working their way, as you said, like matriculating the ball down the field as an ode to Hank Stram, the late Kansas City Chiefs head coach and broadcaster. But, you know, the longer you go, the more possibility exists that your offense is going to make a mistake. This undrafted rookie did not make mistakes. And the team did not, they did not turn the ball over. And I thought that was probably an underrated aspect, just looking back and having 24 hours to think about it, just from my perspective anyway. I wonder what your feeling is about those three long double-digit scoring drives that, you know, you're just hoping things, you know, finish. You finish and not make mistakes.
So I think on the first play of the game in your description, I think you talk about them blitzing. Mm-hmm. So when you look at the interior of that defense from defensive end or outside linebacker to outside linebacker, you think about an active group that's going to try to attack that in the inside of the offense. What really impressed me is Luke Getsy's willingness to call sweeps with the wide receivers, because Darnell Mooney, Tyler Scott, DJ Moore, they all ran them in the game. So now all of a sudden you're taking the defense out of their element. They can't have a contained rush upfield at Bajan. They need to have an exterior rush that kind of holds the outside edge. In every one of those outside sweeps were successful plus yard plays. And then all of a sudden now they got outside concerns, because you talked about them challenging the outside tackling ability that Josh McDaniels, you know, wasn't really fond of. But I think it was a great call, great game by Luke Getsy that designed some plays to take the Raiders completely out of their defensive element.
You know what else happened by virtue of that, now that I'm sitting here thinking about it? Because if you recall, the Tyler Scott end around, I called it Velus Jones immediately, because I've been conditioned to believe that when 12's on the field, or those are going to him. I'm glad they didn't give him one, because now the next opponent, okay, they're going to give it to everybody. Everyone's a threat. So because, you know, until Velus becomes a big part of the offense, or just a little bit part of the offense, where he's taking a toss sweep or he's getting a pass, when he's out there, the defense is definitely on alert that this is a jet sweep. And it's happened. It's happened many times. It happened when Devin Hester was here. If he wasn't playing wide receiver and he gets on the field, you know, is going to be a jet sweep, or he's going to get some, and so everybody knows it. So I do like that. I do like that. Tom, I looked it up, and I believe the stats are updated at the time of this taping of this podcast, but I want to, the Bears right now are number one in the NFL running at right tackle. 7.13 yards a carry. Now, it's a small sample size. It's only 24 times. How do you feel about that?
I love it, because I think Darnell is a big, powerful guy. And I think Nate Davis is a good right guard that was working next to him once he got into the flow and they had some time together. I think that the putting Tevin Jenkins over there and having equally as much power over on that right side still, now you have – I've been waiting for this, you know, for a few years now, to have a go-to area when you need important yards. And so I think Darnell – has not even scratched the surface of ultimately where he's going to end up throughout his career. But when you look at the outcome, how much the tight end is helping over there, you talk about how hard the running backs are running, every single one of them. It surprises me that it's that many yards, but it doesn't surprise me, because I think when we are introduced to Darnell through training camp, you kind of got an indication of what he could be and how much he could change this offensive line.
Yeah, and there have been times, obviously, in this game, too, where you had Mercedes Lewis right next to him, too, helping out on the block. So you get Jenkins, you get Wright, and you get a really good blocking tight end, even though he's 18 years deep in his NFL career. That's a good day right there. That's a good day to have to deal with those guys. Where the numbers aren't as impressive, Tom, is up the middle. 2.30 yards per carry. That's last in the NFL.
You know, it's tough sledding inside there. And you listen, you're not playing against a bunch of sluggos on the defensive line anymore, especially defensive tackles. You're playing against guys like Vita Vea and the rest of the those types of body styles in there that you're not going to get huge movement out of them. So if you can sustain those blocks and you can create a stalemate and you can still work the edge effectively, I'm okay with that, because you're just not going to make a living in middle runs anymore by getting 6, 8, or 10 yards out of them until maybe the late third and fourth quarter, when you physically punished up those interior guys that you're getting bigger runs out of them.
Good news, Chicago United Airlines is getting brand new planes with all the bells and whistles, like Bluetooth connectivity, screens at every seat, and room for everyone's roller bag. United, proud to fly the Chicago Bears, and you too.
Let me say one more thing about those interior runs. One thing that kills those averages when you're going for the third and one and fourth and one, and now everybody's doing that push, that, okay, if it's third and one and you get a yard, it's a success. So it doesn't have to have those big numbers attached to it. You just have to get out of the play what you need in order to get the first down.
By the way, not to get your dander up and get your blood up, but there is a writer, and it's escaping me now which one. It's a national guy. He's done with the tush push. He's done with, tired of the brotherly shove. Says it's not. He says, wait, listen, because it's growing. It's
who cares about a writer's opinion about a play?
Wait, listen.
All right, I'm going to have the same reaction in 30 seconds.
Well, I know, but. But here's what is going to make you mad. He says it's not a football play. It's not a football play. It causes injury, and I can't wait till it's legislated out of the league next year. Now, again, everybody's got a different opinion on it. I've fallen in love with the play, and the Bears are doing it. I'd love to come up with a name for it. You know, you're an idea man. You know, just quickly, maybe we'll get Berman on it. Get our good friend Chris Berman on the case. A bear crawl, is that not that great? I mean, I love it. If it works, great. And you know, Bajent, when he did his sneak, he didn't get pushed this time around, but he said, hey, I was looking at what my best plan was, the A gap or the B gap, and I went the path of least resistance. And he did it the old-fashioned way, where the quarterback goes, takes a second, pauses, hesitates, and goes off to the right or left, and he went off to the right. But, God, I can't believe there's so much vitriol about this particular play.
You know, I would call it power zero, because you're going to the zero hole. Mm-hmm. That means you're going right over the top of the center. Listen, then find out a way to stop it. If you're so offended by a play that's cleverly designed by Philly and they're being able to use it all the way to the Super Bowls, then go find a way to stop it. What is your strategy? And don't give me some angry writer writing a story about how, you know, they need to get it out of the league. Go find a way to stop it and then write an article.
What do you think about the bear crawl?
I like it. I like it.
We're going with the bear crawl until we come up with something better.
It? If I was in on field conditions and it was fourth and one, to get the terminology out of me quickly, power zero. And that means both of my tight ends are up there. And you ever see the tight end to the right-hand side, to the left-hand side at Philly? He reaches up underneath the rib protector of Jalen Hurts and pushes Jalen Hurts up and over the top. Wow. So they're not going through.
They're going over the top. Huh?
Yeah. And that's that guy lifting him up off of his feet from his rib protector.
I'm wondering if some kind of a trick play could form off of that shove and somebody else gets the ball and everybody is just in that box. And then here comes the ball out to the left, and a guy sweeps and runs 70 yards for a touchdown on fourth and one.
So do you remember when Dean Steinkuhler from Nebraska the fumble Ruski?
Yeah, I sure do.
And I think that was in the Orange Bowl. So, I mean, are you offended by that? Because there was one time, one instance in an entire season where you had a chance to use it because it was so unexpected. So you guarantee, Jeff, there's eventually is going to be some type of snap, pitch back, and go if you have all the 11 players inside that box.
Hey, Bears fans, want to meet a Bears legend? Then head to the Verizon store at 375 East Palatine Road in Arlington Heights this Saturday, October 28th, between 12 and 4, for a meet and greet food, fun, games, and more. Get ready for an unforgettable day with a favorite Bears player. But the question is, I don't know. Doesn't say. It doesn't say.
I need to know who I'm going there for.
I was wondering if it was you for a second, but, you know, we're flying.
I'm going to be on a plane sitting right next to you flying to L.A.
Right, we'll be flying, that's for sure. All right, let's take another tip of the cap to a player on the team that we are not talking a lot about. And he's solved a problem. And I know he's in a contract year, and, you know, this position sometimes finds – you know, new additions and new younger players. But Cairo Santos, yeah, yes, there was an extra point blocked yesterday, but he's made 26 of his 27 kicks this season, and he's killing the ball out of the end zone on kick return. What do you think?
I think they have an awesome operation there. I think snapper, holder, kicker, they're in rhythm with each other, and they're not missing their opportunities. My only concern is as the weather deteriorates and things get colder here, will he still have the same faith in the distances that he's kicking from now when the conditions are less than perfect? That's my only apprehension going forward, but that's the same thing with every kicker in the league. It's just not unique to Chicago kickers.
All right, I'm confused by the L.A. Chargers, Tom. That's the next opponent. We'll dig deeper. We'll drill down on this on Thursday's podcast, but you go back to Jacksonville beating them in the playoffs last year. They're 2-6 over the last 8 games, and I just took a scan of their defense. I mean, they got Joey Bosa, they got Khalil Mack, they got Derwin James. You want to know, their numbers are not good defensively at all. They are 32nd, 31st in the league. Let's see here. Let me do a quick gander. The L.A. Chargers, and, you know, they played Kansas City. They're in that tough AFC, obviously. But defensively, 32nd in the NFL in passing yards allowed a game, 31st in yards per game, 31st in yards per play, 31st in kick return against. They do get to the quarterback. They're 8th in sacks per pass play. They've given up the most first downs on average per game, 32nd in the NFL. Wow, I want to really watch that tape to see what's going on. That's just the defense, but let's start there. What do you think's going on there?
You know, the defensive whiz kid, one of the youngest coaches in the NFL, Brandon Staley, he doesn't have the attention of the players, or he's not devising a scheme according to the offenses that he's seeing every week. And when you look at that sacks per play and you take out the 6-sack game by Khalil Mack, you know, are they getting to the quarterback that much? I know this past week in their game, they had 1 sack, and it was not by their star players. They don't have a home field advantage, first of all, because the Chargers play in SoFi Stadium shared with the Rams. And when you go out there to SoFi Stadium, I guarantee you it's going to be 55% Bears fans this week. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a great opportunity for the Bears to play on the road and to get an indication of where Tyson Bagent is on the road. However, I just, Justin Herbert, as great of as a quarterback as he is, I think, you know, in real crunch time, he makes a mistake here, you know, every now and again.
Justin Herbert, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. What have you thought of him over the years watching him play, and what are the Bears looking at?
You know, he's a dynamic quarterback. He's a big, strong-armed quarterback. He's got the willingness to run. He uses every one of his receivers. He's super intelligent. When you go back and you look at the first game he went into play, he wasn't supposed to. They had something happen to the starting quarterback, and Justin Herbert, at a moment's notice, said he was going to go in and play. And ever since then, he's held down the job. He still has untapped potential, but I think when you have such high expectations for the quarterback to get you out of everything, maybe that pressure is a little bit too much for him at times.
And then in terms of their skill positions, obviously they've got some big names there too with Austin Ekeler and Keenan Allen. You know, they drafted the tall receiver Johnson out of TCU. Is this going to be a big test for the Bears defense and how to deal with some of those skill position players, or is the defense right now feeling their mojo? They're playing really well, stopping the run and making teams one-dimensional.
Well, my biggest concern of all those names you mentioned is Austin Ekeler out of the backfield. He's a super talented receiver out of the backfield. So if he starts using like some of the processes of the Bears where it's not wide receiver sweeps, but it's immediate passes out in the flat to Austin Ekeler. And I think that he can, you know, he can take a play and turn it into a touchdown, or he can take a play, which most importantly, turn it into a first down. So I think if you really limit the success of Austin Ekeler and then make Justin Herbert be predictable trying to beat you downfield, that's when you can put some pressure on him and put him in a defensive quarterback position, and maybe he'll throw you another interception or two.
The Bears Etc. podcast is brought to you by PNC, official bank of the Bears. You know, the Eagles, by the way, they've had or shared the best record in the NFL now for 25 consecutive weeks. So we can talk. I just asked you a couple weeks ago, you know, who are the teams that are headed towards a Super Bowl potentially at this point in the season just for kicks. But, you know, Philadelphia, until somebody says otherwise, I mean, they've been right there every step of the way. They're a problematic team to deal with, and they got a line of scrimmage and a quarterback.
They got a line of scrimmage. Their offense and defensive line combined in the NFL is probably one of the best per team. And if they need to get nasty on the defensive line, then they can get nasty. If you want to get into a physical confrontation to them with their offensive line and their running game because they're slowing down, because their passing game is slowed down, but I don't see very much success in that. Their offense and defensive line can go toe-to-toe with any element that you need to go by.
All right, so with every success comes criticism and critique. So Tyson Bagent, no throws over 20 yards by Tyson Bagent. Those are his throw breakdowns right there from NFL Next Gen Stats. Does it matter to you?
No.
Doesn't matter to me either.
It's about first downs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Matt even addressed that at the podium about how successful they were on first downs. And even our great Doug Coletti, our stat man, he hands us cards during the course of the game, and he's talking about how profitable they are on first down. So I don't care if he's handing the ball off for a 7-yard run to the right-hand side, and now they're second and three, and he throws a 4-yard completion for a first down. If you do that 25 times a game, you're talking about the 9-minute advantage in time of possession that they had this week against the Raiders. So, you know, Jeff, it's not the game of football is not about 50-yard touchdown passes. It's about consecutive first downs to keep your offense on the field.
Vizzy Hard Seltzer, the official hard seltzer of the Chicago Bears, and take a chance, download the Bet Rivers app today. No stat says more about that with the short passes and your idea with, you know, this game is about first downs. They lead to touchdowns. On third down throwing the ball yesterday, Tyson Bagent was 6-9 for 52 yards. That's it. But 5 first downs.
Right. Exactly. And I'm saying that the most impressive play to me was early in the game to Tyler Scott, because I wanted to see if he could handle the demands of a quarterback on third down. And when you look at his rotation of his head, his feet, and his vision that goes from the right side to the middle of the field, that's what you need to see out of a quarterback. If you have a quarterback like Tyson and he sees his first two routes taken up and now he's looking how to eject the pocket, that's not what I want to see out of a quarterback. I would like to just see him go through the construction of the play called in the huddle.
All right, what are you making for dinner this week? What do you got?
Black and salmon.
Oh.
With broccoli and a double baked potato.
See, now I don't like having potato with seafood. Can't do it.
Well, you're not eating over.
It just doesn't seem to go. Like, I, you know, yeah, I'm a meat and potato guy, sure, but, you know, couldn't you come up with something like a little couscous dish or something, a little quinoa for your salmon, your blackened salmon?
No. Tomorrow I'm going protein pasta with shrimp. So I'm going to make fresh shrimp along with protein pasta with a little sauce.
All right.
How do you feel about that?
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. That works for me. I'm a big shrimp guy. Love shrimp. So, yeah, that's and, you know, that never gets too old. We got the, you know, our director of content at ESPN 1000, Danny Zetterman, who's a very, very nutritional, smart, and I won't call him a health nut. He just he cares about his health.
I wish I had as disciplined as he did.
Yes, but we were provided some shrimp in the booth on Sunday, and you and I were going to town at halftime there, and I go, Danny, is this Danny Zetterman approved? And he goes, oh, very good for you, very, very, very good for you. Yeah, and he was helping himself too. So
oh, I mean,
shrimp.
He was eating them like George Costanza in the episode of Seinfeld, if you know what episode I'm talking about.
I do.
At the beginning of the game. So,
right.
Listen, man, he was going to town. He was stuffing four or five in his mouth, including the tail.
Good protein for us, that's for sure. All right, that's going to do it, Tom. Thank you so much. Just start digging in. Start drilling down on the L.A. Chargers. See if the Bears can get a road victory. First of four out of five games. The Bears are headed on the road. Our next Bears Etc. podcast will feature Tom's thoughts, and we'll hope to get an interview, somebody from the L.A. Chargers broadcast team to join us as well. Thanks for listening, everybody. Please subscribe now on the Chicago Bears official app, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Bear down, everybody.